This morning I was thinking of a passage of scripture that I quoted at the beginning of a wedding yesterday, last night, of the McIntosh Hunt wedding, and it's 3 John 1:4. He says, "I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth." I want you to notice something about that passage. That passage is vision. It's something that this man has experienced about his children, maybe children of the faith, maybe his biological children. I don't know, it doesn't really matter. But we all in this place who have children and who know the Lord and have experienced the Lord, my hope would be that you'd have no greater joy than this, to hear of your children walking in the truth. It's the priority. It's not the sport. It's not the education. It's not just them simply getting along. It's not their career, what they will be, what they will become as in a career sense. No, the greatest joy in Scripture here is that our children are walking in the truth, and we're hearing that. It's greater than anything, is what he's saying. And when I think about this passage, and actually have thought about this passage ever since we knew that we were going to have our first child, the thought for me was, what could this look like? What could this look like in our lives? At this particular point in Cottonwood history, there's actually no children. None. Maybe an occasional granddaughter who would come with a grandmother. But there were no children. Matter of fact, when Jeremy was born, first 10 months of his life, he was the only child in church. So at the particular point of where we felt like God had asked us to stay, I didn't know if we'd have children's ministry, youth ministries. I mean, this certainly didn't have that since the beginning of its founding. I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth. I want to ask the question, because it's really important, what is your greatest joy? What is it when you hear something, the greatest joy? Because your son or your daughter can be really great athletics and go even to play pro football and still not know Jesus, still not know the truth. And we can have all these kind of accolades of everything that they've done or they're doing and still not know Jesus. A man can gain the whole world and yet lose his soul. So when I think about this passage of Scripture, especially as I look at our children up here, our sons and daughters, what does it take for us to see one day when they are out of the nest and they're on their own, and they're raising their families, and they're raising sons and daughters, what would be the definition of our greatest joy? It's not that they just had kids, but that they had kids that they're raising in the fear or the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I love this passage of Scripture because I've come to experience that in many ways through life. When our children are walking with the Lord, it brings no greater joy. You know, it's great because this truth is defined in three different ways in Scripture. The first one is the truth is defined as Jesus. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7, Jesus is comforting his disciples. He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many places. And if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Teaching our children the truth is teaching our children about Jesus and who he is. He's the only one to the Father. There's not many ways to the Father. There's only one. No matter what you hear from culture, no matter what you hear from another church, no matter what you hear from another denomination or another cult or another whatever, He's the only way to the Father. And the question that we ask in every season of life, because every season of life as a parent is, you're always a parent. I got a son about to be 40. He's still my baby, right? Come on, right? Older parents, amen, amen. And you want the best for them. But they can have everything in this world and not know the truth, Jesus. Not have a personal relationship with him, with God through Jesus. And somehow, as we get grow through life and go through life and get distracted, and sometimes we fall, and sometimes we have seasons that are hard and difficult away from the presence of God. And if you've got kids in the home, they suffer. They suffer. The question is will we teach our children, as long as we're alive, whether our children are 3, 10, 15, 27, 40, 60, and even some of you will grow old enough to see 70-year-old children. Will you still have an influence by teaching the truth, Jesus, the Jesus way, not the world way, not the culture way, but to teach Jesus and his way, the truth? And will I continue in my 60s and 70s and hopefully 80s and maybe a little bit of a 90, right? Will I still have an influence in my sons and my daughters and my grandsons and granddaughters and their children, and if I just am fortunate enough, their children as well? See, when we talk about raising children, we're not talking about raising them until they're 18 years old and then they're gone. No, we're looking at generations from now, if the Lord tarries. Generations. Just as the Bible says there's generational sin, I believe with all my heart there's generational righteousness. And that righteousness only comes through faith. You cannot be righteous apart from faith. You cannot be right with God apart from faith in the one who is the way to the Father. I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. Come on, be honest with me. If you've had wayward children, it's not a very joyful time, especially if you know the Lord. Matter of fact, it can be downright miserable when your children that you've taught, that you've brought to church, that you've brought to Sunday school, that you brought to Wednesday night. Why? Because you had such a heart to see them get everything they need from the gospel and from the good news and from people who walk the same way that you want them to walk. And yet they detour. They fall away. Not very joyful time. I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth. This is something for present, but it's also something for the future. Will I introduce, and will I introduce my children to Jesus, and will they know Jesus? Not because I read them a Bible story at night until they were 5 years old, but because they see Jesus in you. Dad, grandpa, great grandpa, that they see Jesus in you. Jesus is the truth. There's a second truth that's defined in Scripture. John calls it, or well, Jesus quotes it, or Jesus says it in John 17:17, when he is praying for the disciples and those who would come to believe in his name. He says this, a very short verse, a very short word. He's praying to the Father that God would sanctify his followers. Now, to sanctify, it's a big word that just means to make holy, to make them like Jesus, okay? That's just the simplicity of it. Sanctify them in the truth. Now, what's the truth? The word is truth. Your word is truth. I want to ask you, brethren, do you believe that today? That the word of God is the truth. And nothing but the truth. It's true in the sense that whatever it says, it's right. It's true because it's firm. It never, ever falters. It always does what it says the word is going to do. When we teach our children the word, we teach them not just knowing the story, but how to apply it to their lives. But the best way they learn is by seeing it in you. By seeing it in you. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Children, obey your parents. Honor them, the scripture says. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. I'm going to say this, it's really important. If you have a different priority than Jesus and his church, the question is will your children see that and follow you in that into what your priority is? I heard of a man who all he talked about was retirement and couldn't wait to retire, retired early. And you know, his teenage son said, "Dad, I've decided I'm not going to get a job. I'm just going to follow you and retire earlier than you." Priority. Priority. What is the priority? Is he the centerpiece of your life, or is something else the centerpiece? Because they know it and they see it and they feel it and they understand it. And the question is when you leave this place, will you go back to your home today and be the same person that we all saw today? To have the same marriage that we all saw today? Or will it be something radically different? Jesus, the centerpiece. Bible says, listen, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Raising your children and knowing these promises and understanding these promises, you will raise children who will honor you the rest of your life and even beyond the grave when you're gone. Sons, daughters that are in this place, the children that were here, youth that are sitting over here, most of you sitting here in the room, do you obey and do you honor your father and your mother? It's a big question. It's a big, big question. And the question is fathers, notice the next verse. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Why would he say that? Because we all have propensities to provoke our children to anger. If you don't have a propensity for that, could I come in and get some counseling from you? Wednesday night is a really greater. It's going to be. If you go online and watch Wednesday night, what I'm about to say is a lot much more than it is today. But I ask the question through life: how do we provoke our children to anger? How do we provoke them to anger? You know, a number of things I think about. But I think the main way that we provoke our children to anger is a verse of scripture that's found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Now, if you don't have children, this verse can apply to every single person in here. But I have found in my own life, as a parent, as a father, I have found as a youth pastor back in the late 70s, early 80s, as a guy that worked with parents, visited with parents, saw parents, saw their lifestyle. John Ann and I's ministry was mainly a ministry of latchkey kids with mainly their moms in the home. Right, that's who we ministered to. And we saw devastation in homes where the dad was not there. Devastation. Where the dad was not present. And I think about that. I think about a father who provokes his children anger, or even a mother. And I believe this. I believe that when we seek to correct the speck in their eye, but we fail to remove the log in our own eye, we'll provoke them to anger. You've heard the passage, right? Do not judge so that you'll not be judged, right? For in the way that you judge, you'll be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that is in your eye? How can you say to your brother, how can you say to your children, let me take the speck out of your eye, or else, and behold, the log is in your eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. How many of us have heard of people, maybe you were one of them, that said, well, my dad said, hey, don't do as I say, not as I do. It's this right here. That's what this is. I'm going to tell you what to do, when to do, and how to do it, even if I never, ever, and even if you never, ever see me do that. Think about this for a moment. The speck in your eye, your brother's eye, the log in your eye. And the best way that I can explain it is I try to explain it Wednesday night. Let's just say the log is an oak or a pine, okay, or maple. I don't know. It's just a log. Think of it in spiritual terms. The log might be anger. Well, what's the speck? The speck is the splinter off the oak. It's got the same nature that the log has. Are you tracking with me?
Yes.
I hope you are. If you're not, let me just say it again. The log, let's say it's oak. What's the speck? It's a piece of oak. It's got the same nature that the log has. I mean, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about judging somebody, being critical of somebody, and you got the same thing, but yours is a log, his is a speck. And I found it. I find it so. I find it so with parents. I find it so with whether they're little bitty or whether they're teenagers or adults. What do I see? I see so many people correcting their children for the very stuff that's in their own life that they're unwilling to deal with. And that will provoke your children to anger. There's some of you in here today that had dads and moms just like that, and you're walking angry. And I'm going to tell you this, even though you might have had a parent like that, it does not give you one single right to dishonor them, but to honor them the best you can and get the anger out. I do that by practicing my own obedience and removing the judgmental attitudes. So if I see something in you that I don't like or that I begin to be critical of, I want my first prompt to be, oh my gosh, is that in my life? You point the finger and you got three pointing back. Right? You got a speck there, a log here. Oh, and we're good. We're good at that. Because that's our propensity from the flesh. To not like something in somebody's life, like your child or your spouse or your grandkid, that's actually a thing you're dealing with in your heart. It's how we provoke our people to anger. Think about this with me. Think about your own temper or your children's temper. But what about your outburst of anger? Or your children's rebellion? Is there any disregard for authority in your own life? What about their failure to obey? Well, what about you dragging your feet to carry out assignments and daily responsibilities? What about in your whining or their whining? Don't you just hate it when your kids whine? Yes! Yes! But how much am I whining? How much are they a chip off the old log? Right? This is about introspection. This is about asking where I am spiritually as a dad, as a grandfather. And I do this. I really do. Because the last thing I want to do, is provoke my children to anger. The last thing I would ever want to do is to provoke any of you, my people, this sheep, this fold, to anger. I don't want to do that. And I know so many of you in this place, we've walked for years, some of us, and I know it's your heart. The question is, will I practice this obedience? Will I look at my own stuff? I mean, you've got sibling rivalry. You've got kids that don't get along. But I'm going to ask you, what about your relationship with your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters? Yeah, 20 years, 30 years removed. What about their lack of desire for spiritual things? Well, what are they seeing in you? What are your inconsistencies? How faithful are you in your service? How faithful are you, church life? What about their fear, their worry, their anxiety? Well, what about yours? And then what about their lack of compassion? What about my critical spirit? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. I think some other ones, just real briefly in your notes, when you refuse to admit when you're wrong, so we practice humility, receive grace. When I think about this, in any relationship, when there is a struggle, what I want to do is I want to admit my part. And if you're a parent and you don't admit your part, shame on us. To be able to say to anyone, whether you meant it or not, whether you were consistent or not, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me for my part in this? Practice it. Watch what God does when you do. When you take responsibility, yeah, maybe just 10%, but I'm telling you, a lot of times it's more than 10%. Know that about me. But we have a propensity to think more highly of ourselves than we should. That's just the bottom line. So when I think about my child walking in the truth, it means that he's not walking in some kind of anger that I provoked. Because there's some people, and you may be one, who may be in your 30s, 40s, 50s, and you're still angry with your mama or your daddy. And the only way out of that pit is to walk in forgiveness by the power and by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that it's not repeatable in your family line. When I think about provoking our children to anger is when we break promises. Just fulfill your word. And another one is when we discipline in anger. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But do what? Raise them in the fear or the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We teach them the truth. We teach them Jesus. We teach them His Word. And I got to say this because it's important. When's the last time up until this moment that you read Scripture from the screen? When's the last time you were in the Word? When's the last time that you opened your Bible for a quiet time? When's the last time that your children saw you reading? When's the last time you read with your children? Was it just last Sunday? And then you lived the whole week with a closed book? That's not teaching them the truth. It's not teaching them the truth. You know, Deuteronomy is an awesome passage of Scripture. It's part of Moses' farewell speech. It says this. It'll be on the screen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today, they shall be on your heart. And you, not Scott, not Awana, not me, but you shall teach them diligently. You'll teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. Now, that doesn't mean you got permission to go tattoo on stuff on your hands and all that stuff. Please. No, it means it's on your mind. It means it's on your heart. It's at the fore of your mind, not the back of your mind. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. You shall write them. All he's saying is if he's the centerpiece, if Jesus, the truth, is the centerpiece, so will the Word of God. But most of us and most of your kids, as they grow older, they're scrolling something other than the Word of God. The Word of God washes you, is what Scripture says. And I got to ask the question, what am I being washed with? And what are my children being washed with? This scripture is Old Testament scripture. It speaks of Christ and his word. And all he's saying is let it be the centerpiece of your life and let everything flow out of that. So that's what you're talking about. And if you're talking about politics and if you're talking about culture and if you're talking about stuff and you're talking about sports and you're talking about those things, that's fine. But please don't let it be the centerpiece. He's always talking about that team. He's always talking about his job. She's always talking about that politician. He's always talking about culture. Always. She'll teach them diligently to your children. The truth is Jesus. The truth is his word. There's a third that the scripture says is the truth. And it's the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:7. It's the Spirit of God who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear this of my children walking in the truth. The truth, Jesus, the truth, the Word, the truth, the Spirit. What does it mean to walk? It means to regulate one's life. It's how you conduct your life. It's by Jesus, it's by the Word, it's by the Spirit of God. To walk in the truth means I have a lifestyle, that my child has a lifestyle, that my son, that my grandchildren have lifestyles that live according to the Word, according to the Spirit of God, according to Jesus, according. I live by that Word. I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth. Notice, I hear about it. Because I can be blind to what I see with my child. Right? I'm comparing, right? Is that right? Some of you had kids, they're grown, and you were blinded. You thought one thing, but another thing's going. But listen to me. When you hear somebody's testifying about your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren and how they walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Do you see the vision here? It's the vision. It means the truth, Jesus, the truth, Word, and the truth, the Spirit of God. Because you can say, and your kid can say, I believe in Jesus all day long, and not walk by the truth. We teach them to walk by the truth, not just to know the truth. And we do that by modeling it. Closing up this morning, I want you to move to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, a very appropriate passage of scripture to close on, because this is how we desire our lives, our marriages, our children to walk. What we want them to look like. And Galatians chapter 5 tells us what you don't want to look like and what you want to look like. What you don't want your children to look like and what you want your children to look like. It's Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say walk by the Spirit. Which is what? The truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. Now listen, I know this is about our children, but I want you to look at this through the lens of you, not your children. What does this say about you, and what does this say about me? Okay. I say, walk by the Spirit. And this is what it literally says, and you will never, ever, ever carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. Now, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, what does that mean? It means that the law, when you're under the law, you're not walking by faith. You're walking by the deed. You're walking by the behavior, okay? And no one gets saved or gets holy like that. It's the whole point of grace. It's the whole point of belief and faith. It's the whole point of mercy. Jesus fulfilled the law. The Bible says that the law is weak. It's weak. It cannot save you. It can only lead you to Jesus. That's the only. Expose your sin and lead you to Jesus. And being under the law means that you're under a sacrificial system of works. We're not under the law. We're under grace. We're under faith. And that faith produces the ethic, the belief in the word Jesus, the word his scripture, the word the Holy Spirit. The deeds of the flesh, this is what we don't want to look like, are immorality, impurity, and sensuality. That's just sexual sin. That's sexual sin, well, any kind of sex outside of marriage. It could be fornication, it can be adultery, it can be homosexuality, anything out of marriage bond between one man and one woman. Idolatry, that's loving something more than you love God. That's thinking that that one thing is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. Sorcery, that's just living after the enemy. That's just making deals with him. Enmities and strife, that's just kind of not getting along. Outburst of anger, jealousy, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. So envying, addictions, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will never, ever inherit the kingdom of God. Won't inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit. Walk by the truth. Walk by the Spirit. You won't fulfill these things. Your children won't fulfill these things. They learn by the Word, yes. They learn by the power of God's Word in your life as they model it. And that you decide, I'm going to live by the Word. I'm going to live by Jesus. I'm going to live and walk by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is the definition. This is the vision for our lives. This is the fruitful tree that when we're holding that baby, that we're asking God to give us the power to bring that son, to bring that daughter from being that baby to that grown woman, that grown man who is now holding their babies, watch, with the same vision. Do your children know the vision? Do they know Jesus? Do they know the Word? Do they know the Spirit of God? But the greatest question is, do I know that? Do they see the transformational power of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, my marriage, my parenting, the way I do work, even the way I play, even the way I hobby. It's different. Why? Because we know the truth and we walk by the truth, and our children see it and they live it, they want it, especially when they have their own kids, if you've raised them that way. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I have no greater joy than this, than to hear my children walking in the truth. To my children walk in the truth because they see the truth coming out of Dad and Mom. It's just that simple. And maybe, just maybe, you come to a point like a point today that says, God, I don't ever want to live the way I lived. And maybe today's that day, I don't know. But you would say, oh God, how do I make things right with my son and my daughters? My sons and my daughters. Yeah. How do I do that? I admit my part, I confess it, and I ask them to forgive me. This is it. And you know what happens? It gets in their court. You remember that season we walked in? I regret that season. We didn't live for Christ. We lived for self. And I want to just apologize for that and ask that you forgive your mom and dad. And I know you're out of the house, or I know that you're raising your own now, but I just want you to know things are different now. Things are different. Because we're going to walk by the truth. We're going to walk by Jesus. We're going to walk by the Word, and we're going to walk by the Spirit. That's our vision. That's what we're going to do. And again, your kids may be long gone. Does not matter. If you're alive, you can still have great influence. And if they're in your home, and sometimes you just don't know what to do, you can talk to some people that maybe they may not know what to do, but maybe you can figure it out together according to the Word. So that we would understand and know what it means to have no greater joy than this, than to hear of our children walking in the truth. Father, I thank you so much for our children. I thank you so much for them. I just think about just watching them sing today, to sing praise unto you. And I know every parent who watches this and sees this understands that this worship is not just what we do on Sunday. It's 24/7. It's a life like we see in Galatians that's crucifying the flesh and its passions and walking by the Spirit. So that we can, as a family, as men, as women, as husbands, as wives, as sons, as daughters, can walk by the Spirit and see you work because we're walking by the truth. Oh God, I pray for that kind of church family today. I pray for that kind of church family. And I ask in Jesus' name that whatever's prompting us today, that God, that we'd make the response, we'd respond to you and say yes to whatever you're asking of us. And whatever that means, whatever that looks like, I pray for the yes on the altar. This is how we're going to live. Thank you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name that those of us who have truly sought to raise them in the fear and admonition or the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, Father, that we desire to teach them the Word, I want to pray that somehow we would hear, if it's just glimpses of our children walking by the truth, and that joy would be ours to the fullest measure. And for those whose children are young, I pray for that kind of vision. And I ask, Lord, that every parent in here would walk by the truth, Jesus, walk by the truth, the word, and walk by the truth, the spirit. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.